Welcome back to the Purple Menace Podcast. Billy Wessels, Clint Foster in the building. We're going to call former Frog legend Blaze Foltz here in a little bit.
He's on the show.
He's coming on the show this week, so get excited, everybody. A lot to talk about this week. Not as much as last week, I don't think.
Yeah, last week we had a lot.
There was a five-star possibly playing Bama. This is a slow week.
But we got some good content.
Some good content coming.
We're never going to leave our loyal listeners hanging.
Yeah, both you guys are going to hear some good stuff. Both of y'all listeners. First things first, let's talk about the sport that should be happening right now. Should be going into conference play or...
R.I.P.
No, Selection Sunday would be this coming Monday.
Yeah, man.
Selection Sunday would be Monday. Let's start with baseball. I guess first, how are you doing, Clint?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing pretty good. I was out of town for a good chunk of this week. I was down in Matagorda. Well, first I was in Manor, then I was in Matagorda.
Okay.
Doing a lot of work, but then I got to take a little break and do a little fishing, which was highly unsuccessful.
Okay.
But, you know, your worst day out in the water still can't be that bad, right?
Better than a 9-to-5 day,
yeah,
like exactly. I always say. No, so. That's good. Yeah, nothing's changed much for me. The gyms are back open, so I'm very excited to get back to lifting weights again.
Yeah, doing that's that all true. Week.
So I'm very, very pumped, figuratively and literally, about how this week's going. I've never been more sore in my entire life. After taking 2 months off and then going back. And I haven't been, like, going crazy either. I've been doing, like, half of what I was doing. And, like, getting up the next day, I was like, oh, my God, everything hurts.
Oh, man.
Everything hurts.
Speaking of everything hurts, everything itches for me right now. And bear with me. It's because while I was down in Matagorda, I've never seen a more biblical swarm of mosquitoes than when I was down. It was when I got off of the water the night that I did fish, and then the sun went down, and the mosquitoes just came out en masse. It was literally, like, at one point, I smacked my leg. I killed 3 mosquitoes at one time. I kid you not. This is not an exaggeration. I had 3 blood spots on my palm.
We're about due for the locusts of 2020, so...
Yeah. That already hit East Africa.
Yeah, I know. I thought they were getting here by mid-June, so we're a little early, but why not? What could be next around this corner? But I think things are pointing up here around the place, because there's a lot of reports that...
Around the states.
Like, Texas is mostly open now, I feel like.
Yes.
Heck, bars opened at midnight last night.
Yes, so, bars open, and we should have football in the fall.
I think we'll have football based on the SEC's opening the first week of June, second week of June, and
Big 12
doing the June 15th, I think, officially. So, yeah, it's happening. It's all happening.
It's happening!
So we should be good to go for sports. I'm not going to say as usual in the fall. I'm still questioning the fans.
Yes, and so my question is, how am I going to sneak into games if there's no fans allowed?
Get you a press pass.
Okay, then that's good.
Yeah.
See, but I also had the thought, like, okay, what if I get a press pass? I mean, I can't sit in the press box because there's no cheering allowed, right?
Well, you don't cheer.
But
it's been
difficult.
It's been trained out of me.
Yeah.
I very rarely cheer at anything anymore. And, like, it's almost boring
stoic
to watch a game with me. I'm like, what? Oh, that's that. There's that. Y gap, Z, pull, whatever. I'm just saying things like
just
that.
Just watching film.
Just watching tape 24/7, basically. So it's very boring. Like, why aren't you cheering? I was like, I don't know. I was like, I know the Saints are going to lose in a controversial call the last play of the season. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So it is what it is. But I'm very excited for the potential return of Major League Baseball in mid-July.
Yes.
And then hopefully that means college baseball is coming next spring, where TCU will have most of its players back. We're not surprised by this.
No, not at all, especially since it was a lot of these guys were some of the loudest, being like, please give me another year of eligibility. Yeah.
So far, Connor Shepherd, Dalton Brown, Gene Wood, and Zach Humphries have all released videos announcing their return.
Love it.
I didn't see one from Halen Green. I'm expecting it any day now, or maybe it already happened and I missed it.
Mm.
But I don't think he's going to leave, because he's a guy, I was telling you off air, that being a middle reliever, as great as he is, like Andrew Miller-esque as he is, middle relievers don't get drafted in the first 5 rounds of the draft. They're teens, usually in the teens, unless they're otherworldly, which he kind of is. But either way, he's a guy that would benefit from a full season, from a full round draft. So he's going to be back. I'm not at all shocked and surprised by that.
Love it, man. Keeping the band together. We got unfinished business as far as I'm concerned, as far as I'm sure these guys are concerned. So let's go.
Let's
do it in 2021.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm going booking trips for Omaha for June 2021.
Dude, let's continue to beat that 2021 drum, man.
It's going to be a good year. It's going to be a good year for the Frogs, I feel
like. Dang well better be.
It better be, or we can just cancel that season now. We'll be fine, too. But that is a good segue for us, because starting Monday, we've gone through the archives. Shout out TCU Library for having access to photos from the 1800s.
Yes.
For baseball, football, basketball. So we are doing, we seem to do well with the football uniform challenge.
Yeah, y'all liked that? Yes. Y'all liked that football uniform
challenge? So we're giving you a baseball uniform challenge starting Monday. We are doing a whites and grays division because they kind of wear them at home. They kind of wear them on the road. I think still the whites are mostly a home thing.
Yeah.
But it, they have, like, they'll wear the black jerseys, the purple jerseys sometime at home. And then we're going to do a black, gray, no, a black, black purple, and purple division. Others division. Yeah. So we're going to do a whites and a, like you're doing your laundry, like a whites and a colors look.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You don't want any bleeding of colors. You don't want any, you know, you don't want the whites to turn out pink or something.
Because also we keep conveniently have 16 of each. So
yes, that also worked out.
That also worked out pretty well. So
I got to tell you, though, I'm getting pumped about doing that. I mean, this baseball bracket's going to be great just because there's so many of these throwbacks besides the ones that we already wear that are just such great looks, mm-hmm. either for their novelty or because they are legitimately great looks. So that's going to be fun to watch this bracket play out. I mean, I had a lot of fun with it. You had a lot of fun with the football one, and we had a lot of great response. But I'm very excited about the basketball one as well.
Yes.
Because I've been digging deep on that and doing the research on that. And there are some...
There are some doozies in there.
There are some wild looks
so
that
we're doing,
used to wear.
We're doing baseball first, and with a 32-team... quote-unquote team bracket. That'll probably take 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, and colorized black and white photos.
Yes, shout out my buddy Wade Honeycutt, TCU alum. He's basically the Boomer White of computer animation. Started at TCU, finished at A&M.
Does he wear his ring like all
the
time?
No, he doesn't. TCU, no, A&M one, no. But I was at his ring dunk. Buddy of mine from way back in the day, freshman year. Going on. What, 16 years of friendship. So shout out Wade for hooking us up by colorizing the black and white photos that we found. They're probably close to what they were. I don't think anyone's alive from the 1902 team to tell us that wasn't how it looked. But if someone is, feel free to shout us out.
Yeah.
So
it's all wrong.
But we're going to release the black and white version and the colorized, what we best guesstimate is what the jersey looked like back then. So you can get a look of what it isn't. So it'll be fun. It's going to be good. I don't know. It's going to be fun. I'm excited about this. It's like some of these jerseys are so good.
Oh, yeah.
But some of these throwback ones are beautiful. So,
well, and a lot of people might have seen my tweet about the basketball throwback.
Yes. And those are not good. That's
no,
the,
terrible.
That's the question. A lot of these baseball ones are beautiful.
Yeah. I would go as far as to say is none of the baseball uniforms are bad.
No, none of them are good. None of them are bad.
But there are some basketball looks where you're like, that was a questionable decision. like some lavender striped shorts that we wore in the 70s, or some two-tone purple and white shorts with white stripes emanating from the crotch that also included a belt and a zipper.
The belt
from the late 60s.
The belt is the most jarring thing I've seen.
Yes, it's like
on a
legitimate
field.
Leather belt.
Yes. Like you get from H&M or whatever. That's where you get this clothing line from.
Yes.
The 6'7" guy wearing a flying T jersey that's about size 3 font.
Yeah.
Like it's some of the fonts and some of the color schemes on these basketball ones are adorable and atrocious. So we'll probably plan on doing that one late June, early July, as soon as we get done with baseball.
Yeah,
so,
as soon as we get done with baseball.
So yes, it's exciting times. Even though there's nothing happening, we're going to give you plenty of things to click on, if nothing
else.
Hey,
we're excited about it.
Like I said, none of these baseball jerseys are bad. Even like the 1902 ones are, for all intents and purposes, pretty good.
Yeah, oh yeah.
So very excited to see how this turns out and how this shapes out.
You got to remember, like, America as a nation has had a lot of time to perfect the baseball uniform, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Basketball, you got to cut us a little slack because it's yeah, you know, basketball only came around.
What were the earliest years you found? Because I was doing the baseball research, you were doing the basketball ones.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the earliest year you can remember seeing on basketball?
Well, I found uniforms from the 30s that were literally just like a purple tank top and they're like playing outside.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm not going to include these unless we absolutely have to for numbers. But the oldest that I was going to include was from the 50s. One of our 50s uniforms actually are the script frogs that we still wear, which are such a good look. But then the other one is like, the TCU is like, each letter is oddly spaced out, and it's kind of in an arch.
Yeah.
So it's like, it was kind of ahead of its time. But it's like, we just took 3 letters and stitched them onto a tank top, and like, they're kind of weirdly spaced out.
Yeah.
So, and again, that's the only one that I have of like, basically... It's basically a shoulder headshot type of a player, so you can't actually see the shorts, which you can assume are just like, you know, white short shorts.
So, but, again, shout out Wade Honeycutt. We're going to beg you again in a couple weeks to the basketball ones.
Yes.
Hopefully he's got time for us. Yes, it's going to be going to be a fun summer, if nothing else. We'll get sports back soon, but we can click on stuff before then. And that segues nicely into basketball, mm-hmm. into a recent round of mock drafts that came out.
Yes.
So I saw one a while ago. This was like 2 months ago when the season was like just ending. Desmond Bane was sneaking into the first round in that mock draft. Mm. I love it.
Yeah.
But then the ones I saw this week have him going 39th. I don't remember what team they're going to. Or this might have just been a ranking of players. Mm. According to CBS, have him as a 39th overall player, so an early second round pick. And then he's the 44th overall player on ESPN. That's a mid second round pick. So he's not listed by Yahoo or Bleacher Report or on their mock draft either. So it's a total wild card what Bane's going to end up at.
Well, he may be the 39 overall player, but he is that guy.
He's that guy.
Yeah.
He's like, he ain't no freshman anymore.
Yeah.
He's
that guy.
Yeah, he is that guy. Now, Bane's, I mean, again, I don't think anyone on the TCU network has been more cynical of his play than I have been.
That's true.
But I don't think I've been necessarily wrong either, or like overtly mean. It's just, I'm excited to see what he can do at the next level.
I mean, honestly, Billy, the reality is, like, unless you're like Larry Bird or Reggie Miller, if your bread and butter is perimeter shooting, you're going to be streaky. Or I'll throw Steph Curry in there as well. Yeah. Like, you know, who are guys who are just automatic because for whatever, you know, God-gifted reason. But, you know, so, and Desmond Bane, if you look at the stats, he's an incredibly, incredibly consistent shooter from the perimeter. It's just, it's frustrating when you're watching
He'll
games
and
you're
like, oh, where's seven, he been? And you know, then like, 5 for 5.
Yeah, but that's not unusual. And he's incredibly athletic and he's a good ball handler.
But I think he'll translate better to a team full of guys that are that guys.
Yeah.
Whereas he's supposed to be the guy here, and he would disappear for a half, and TCU's down by 15, and the game's over for most intents and purposes. So, putting him at the next level, he can be a capable sixth man, if nothing else.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So,
for sure. I feel like, and a lot of the guys that you get in the second round typically are the guys who end up being really competent role players.
Yeah.
You know, help push your team over the edge. And, yeah, absolutely, Desmond Bane can be that guy.
He can be that guy.
He's already that guy. You know?
Yeah, he can be that guy as well. That guy getting paid for it, too. So, I'm excited for Desmond Bane. I'm excited to get sports back and see where they all go. I've just been dying to talk a little bit of hoops after the Jordan doc.
Yes.
After the Last Dance. What did you think of it?
Dude, I loved it. I loved every second of it. And, you know, it was kind of like we said, me and you both kind of went into this with preconceived notions about Jordan, and I always was thinking like, yes, I think he is the greatest player of all time, and this really kind of confirmed that and gives you kind of that up close look for those of us who don't really totally remember those seasons all that well because we were too young to care, essentially.
Yeah. I was like 8 or 9 when all this happened, so
yeah, right. So like, yeah, 98 and the last championship, I was 8.
Oh yeah, exactly. I was 12. Yeah,
yeah. So but yeah,
we're also big jazz fans in my household.
Oh really?
Well, Karl Malone went to Louisiana Tech, had a couple classes with my dad. So we were big jazz fans growing up. I had a Karl Malone growth chart in my room, like I'd stand next to and mark my height again.
That's so fun.
Yes, yes. So, yeah. So we were.
You probably got pretty close.
I got up there. I think Karl Malone. How tall was he? Like 6'8", 6'9" in his playing days.
I don't know. You have to.
I eventually grew, like, not literally grew out of it, but grew out of thinking it was okay for a. for an adult to do. So let's see. He's 6'9", so I never quite got there.
Not quite.
Not close. I got within half a foot.
But yeah, just Jordan, like, I mean, everyone shared that moment from the end of episode 7, I think it was, where he's just talking about, like, the price of winning and the price of being a champion. Yeah. And, like, you know, some people may think I was a jerk, but... like, you know, that's only because you've never won anything, you know, and you don't know how to push yourself. It hyped me up so much, and it's so magnified. I mean, I obviously pointed out, like, yes, Jordan had his flaws. He's not a perfect individual. No one is. But when you talk about just pure greatness, pure will to win, and just the ability to... he never lost in the finals, you know? He had the ability to take over a game when he needed to and get that win for his team. Unlike any other NBA player. And you can go ahead and say, I mean, you can say what you will about LeBron. Probably he is the most physically gifted and talented NBA player of all time. But when you're talking about greatest, when you're talking about will to win, Michael Jordan didn't lose to the Mavs in the finals. Michael Jordan didn't, have to hop around and create super teams you know, for himself to, well, to win championships.
They built one for him. He got to play with two Hall of Famers.
Yes, which is great.
With Pippen and Rodman, and was 0-for in the playoffs without Pippen by his side.
Yes. Yeah, and when also at Phil Jackson's offense made a big difference.
LeBron took a garbage Cavs team to the finals.
No, yeah. In his third or fourth year. People want to make it, you know, a binary conversation where it's like, if you're going to say Jordan is the GOAT, then that automatically means LeBron sucks, which is just nonsense.
That's what I hate the most. Whereas I'm more of a LeBron fan because I think he's more of a complete player. But again, he's more of a Magic Johnson type that can play all five positions and not do just one thing like Jordan can do one thing better than anyone else. But LeBron...
Well, Jordan did more than one thing. I mean, he was a great on-ball defender. He was a great court general. He was a great shooter.
Less of a great court general. I don't think he passed as much as LeBron does.
Well, no,
LeBron's,
he didn't.
LeBron's leading the league in assists right now. He'll probably be the all-time leading scorer when he retires. He'll be top three in assists, top five in rebounds. Like he'll have the greatest stats ever when he's done.
Well, yeah, probably.
Yeah. So,
but will he have six rings? And
maybe he might with this Lakers team. If we come back and win one this year, gives him four. He could get up to six.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
We'll see. It's not said and done. But I think LeBron gets destroyed for no reason because of Jordan's greatness.
Well, it's because LeBron wants himself to be compared to Jordan. You know what I mean? Whereas Jordan. He was, I think I saw some quote from him or something where he was like, oh, I don't like the GOAT conversation because that's...
But Jordan doesn't like anything.
Yeah.
He's just an angry old man. Like, he's a spiteful old man that is angry at everybody.
Dude, his list of grievances.
Miserable. He seems miserable.
Yeah.
And if he did any of that stuff today, he'd be crucified.
Oh, for sure.
Jordan, or LeBron is like one of the nicest people on the planet.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, he has been in the spotlight for so long. But if he shoots a layup with his kid at a basketball game, he gets destroyed on ESPN and Fox Sports. Like he creates a high school and gives away free tuition, gets murdered by Fox News for not shutting up and dribbling. Like, Jordan had crazy gambling debts. I think there's more to the basketball thing, the baseball thing, than they said in the quote-unquote documentary. It's not a documentary.
Oh, you believe the conspiracy about 100%. Him being a suspension?
No. I don't think he was suspended. But I think it was enough debts that I think his dad was not – it was not random.
Oh, that his dad got killed.
Yes, and I think that played a factor into it.
That's fair.
And I think because it's not a documentary if he has Last Call on one thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not.
Yeah.
So it's a great. It was a Sam Smith who wrote the Jordan Rules was on the documentary a lot. Said it was based on a true story, and so it's based on it. And all these players coming out how they were portrayed and stuff. Yeah, I'm sure they got the short end of the stick because LeBron Jordan's just a jerk.
Well,
a bitter old man that doesn't want to give credit to anyone else.
And it is funny how, like, they literally show you on the documentary Jordan reviewing all of the interview footage.
Yeah, because he got to decide what went in and what didn't go in.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't know.
I still love Michael Jordan, though. I mean, like I say, he's not the greatest person necessarily, but he's not even close. yeah, not even close. But he's inspiring as a player. Inspiring. Yeah. And just the way, you know... You have to push yourselves and those around you if you're going to be great. I mean, that's the way Coach B runs his program.
But do you have to punch someone in the face?
No, you don't have to. Absolutely not.
And again, nowadays, that would be the scrutiny he faced back then where he was just like God for the entire decade of the 90s versus James at the devil for doing the one bad thing you did wrong was donate money to the Boys and Girls Club.
I think that people like, begrudge... I don't think people begrudge LeBron for his... charity work at all. I think a lot of people do. I think that people begrudge LeBron. I think the whole reason that LeBron has a stigma around his name is because of the decision. Because it was this bloviated, blown out,
one-hour-long
show for him to say, oh, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach. That's what really turned everybody off of him.
Yes, and if you realize that whole thing was still raising money for the Boys and Girls Club. Like, even the worst thing he did was a fundraiser for the Boys and Girls Club. Like, and don't be wrong, I'd probably hate him, too, if the Mavs didn't beat him that first time. But I think he gets such a bad rap nowadays.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I loved every second of that Mavs finals.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, because I hate Dwayne Wade more than I hate Dwayne Wade.
I hate Dwayne Wade with a passion of a thousand suns.
But yeah, yes. I feel like, I mean, for me, I don't know that I would even classify myself as a LeBron hater. I don't consider him the greatest of all time because I prefer Jordan. But, you know, before the decision, I liked LeBron a lot more. Yeah. And then after the decision, I was like, this guy, come on.
But what's he going to do? He's sit all there like, on that Cavs team and just get murdered in the finals every year? like, and get murdered by the super team of the Celtics that had these super teams. They went and picked up Garnett, Allen,
yeah, that count, Rondo, that Celtics Pierce. Nuts.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're the team that quote unquote drove them out of Cleveland, but that is a super team. Yeah. Like, that's a super team.
Oh, right? Yeah, for sure.
So that was like one of the original super teams.
Yeah.
So to put it on LeBron as, oh, he had to go get these super teams. No, no, no. He was playing the game like everyone else would. And again, if Jordan didn't have Pippen and Rodman and Kerr.
Well, he didn't have Rodman in the early 90s.
Not the first three, no. Yeah. But it was Pippen. No, it was Pippen and Jordan versus just Charles Barkley. Versus just Magic Johnson. Mm-hmm. Versus just whoever was good for the Blazers then.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember.
Clyde Drexler, was he Drexler there?
Like, well, Drexler had he had somebody in the post.
Probably. But I'm just saying. There was
somebody playing the position.
There was somebody there, but I'm saying no one to their caliber.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that that's totally fair, because I do think that the league in the 90s was insanely good. I mean, and yeah, there's talented guys but now, but
it was usually just one star per team.
Usually two.
Give me another example.
Well, I mean, you were talking about the Utah Jazz. You had Malone and Stockton.
That was when he had Rodman and Pippen and Kerr. He still had three Hall of Famers to two Hall of Famers. He had an edge in Hall of Famers in every matchup he had.
Well, what about
also had Phil Jackson?
But here's another thing: in those times that he did lose in the playoffs when he was younger, when he was trying to get up, you want to talk about how different the game was? How those Pistons teams would literally just commit murder? Yeah. Like,
I love Bill Laimbeer. I love him. That's just how I play basketball.
Absolutely,
as just a giant freak. Yes,
yeah.
That's how I play.
But like that doesn't happen now.
But again, but also when Jordan quit in the middle of his career. LeBron hasn't quit on his team yet, but whatever. When Jordan just quit and walked away, they went from 57 wins to 53 wins. And then
But they also didn't make it. They didn't make it past the first round.
They made it to the second round of the playoffs. But they only lost. They only won four less games. When LeBron leaves the Cavs, they go to 19 wins. They go from 57 wins to 19 wins.
Oh yeah, I mean,
but I'm just saying that's how talented his teams were.
Yes. Jordan had great players around him, of course. That's why that Bulls dynasty was a dynasty. But at the end of the day, it was Jordan who would get them over the hump whenever they needed a play, whenever they needed that
shot. I mean, Paxson beat the Suns. Paxson hit the game winner to beat the Suns. Kerr beat the Jazz.
Because they were all focused on Jordan.
But that's LeBron 24/7 nowadays. As you take a hefty beverage. A hefty beverage. With LeBron as a threat at point guard, too. He's got whatever. I just wanted to defend LeBron because nowadays it's not cool to be a LeBron fan.
No,
it's all Jordan.
And you're cast, like I already said, LeBron, you're not going to find a more. Like, LeBron to me is a lot like Wilt Chamberlain, except for more so. It's just there's no one who can match his physical traits, his talent. He's extremely talented. But Jordan. Who is, you know, you could compare Kobe a lot to Jordan, just that he's got that it factor. He's a winner.
Well, Kobe and Jordan are the same player.
Very similar, yeah. Yes. Very
it's similar. Like how LeBron and Magic are the same player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know what we accomplished there.
We also
spent at least 5 minutes too more on this than I thought we
would. Well, my point is, you know, it's very apples and oranges, honestly. You know, people, when you're comparing LeBron to Jordan, but he's the GOAT to me.
Most of the camp is, if Jordan's the greatest, therefore LeBron sucks. I know you're not like that.
No, that's
but I'm not, just trying to make a lot of, I'm trying to give LeBron a little love because he needs it, I guess. He needs my attention and love. Sure. He needs me to defend him for 10 minutes on the Purple Menace podcast. Whatever this is worth. All right, let's quickly run through some new football offers. Quarterback I like an awful lot, Gavin Wimsatt, a 6'3", 200-pound, 2022 quarterback from Owensboro, Kentucky. Also has offers from Louisville, Missouri, Cincy, and Kentucky already. Watching him play, he's got a fantastic touch on his passes, like just precision all over the place. But the play that really was like, oh my gosh, what tape am I watching? I literally rewinded this play three times to see what it was. It looked like a fake punt that he took 70 yards to the house.
Wow.
So I was like, why is there a safety 50 yards on the field? No, that's the lineup for a punt. And he's very far back, like beyond shotgun, like sniper rifle range. I was like, oh, it's probably a fake punt. And he houses it 70 yards. So the dude's got wheels. The dude has got a great touch on his pass. I like watching this guy play a lot. So very early in, 2022 quarterback. So we got some good ones coming in 2021 already. But keep an eye out for Gavin.
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd have to think that Kentucky and Louisville are probably front runners in any race for a home state kid. But, you know, also our program's in a lot better general position than either of them are.
Yeah, 100%. So unless Louisville gets... a better coach. Kentucky has one good year every 7 years, it seems like.
Yeah.
Missouri's kind of the same way. See what Sean Robinson does up there now, possibly. Has he transferred since? I don't know if he's still there or
he's
not.
He's like, because of coronavirus, I've chosen to transfer.
I'm going to Miami of Ohio or whatever.
I don't know. Missouri, really, I think, you know, the safe spaces, their obsession with that, I feel like that really isn't his wheelhouse.
I don't think I get that, but okay.
Well, you know, they had all... Missouri is one of those colleges that was at the forefront of, like, protesting about people having safe spaces.
Well...
And, like, you know, microaggressions and stuff. And, you know, he's... I'm just trying to...
Don't trigger him. Don't trigger him. Okay?
That's what I'm going for.
Yeah, so keep an eye on Gavin. Maybe he's tough enough to not go to Missouri. And then Le'Veon Moss... A 5'11", 180-pound running back from Baton Rouge. That means he's probably going to LSU. Yeah. But TCU gave him an offer. Also has Bama, Miami, Oklahoma State, and A&M already. Another running back from Louisiana that's explosive, hard to tackle. Makes the first couple guys miss. So he's really impressive.
Dude, if his name is any indication, he's Le'Veon Bell and Randy Moss combined.
He's basically a future Hall of Famer. GOAT already.
Yes.
Give it to him. So that's a definitely a recruitment to watch.
You know, they say there's a lot of power in names, you know, and naming kids, like, kind of guiding their path based on that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they were trying to speak something into existence.
Parents did something right there, I guess, by with that kind of name there. And then the last football guy I want to talk about is Landon Watson, defensive end from Hutto, Texas, a Hutto Hippo.
Mm-hmm.
Who's a famous Hutto Hippo that came to TCU?
Jeremy Curry.
There you go.
Four-star athlete.
Yep, this is a four-star defensive end, 6'3", 230. Has a top six of Arizona State, TCU, Virginia Tech, Tennessee, Cal, and Arkansas. So he went to go see – he was an LSU commit before all this. He went to Virginia Tech back in January, said he wanted to go visit everyone else, but obviously that's not happening right now.
Mm.
So I think – his decision was going to be made, I think, in June or July. I imagine that we'd be getting pushed back now because of all this. So that's a name to keep an eye on. So,
and he's a 21 kid, correct?
Yes, he's in this current. He's in this current cycle. So
he'd be a nice one to have.
Yep, he'd be a good addition. And I'm very surprised TCU hasn't gotten more defensive players in this class yet.
Yeah. It feels like, I mean, I know that we've always heard that this class was going to be smaller, but it still feels like this class is so small.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it does feel that way. I mean, it's four players. You got a defensive end, a receiver, and two quarterbacks. So it's a weirdly shaping group right now. That you wouldn't think you would take two quarterbacks already as your first two commits for this class, honestly.
Well, and who can say if both of them are going to stay at quarterback all 4 years?
Yeah, I mean, Honig is a traditional quarterback, and the big German, I think, is going to come in and light the world on fire. So maybe Trent Battle.
Purple Dirk.
Purple Dirkle. Trent Battle might. But Trent Battle is crazy impressive at quarterback, too.
Mm.
You look at him like, oh, maybe that guy could play receiver or running back or whatever, but he is a really good quarterback, too. So I think they're going to give him every shot to be quarterback out the gate and to see what happens from there.
I mean, you know, and you never know how things are going to play out. I mean, Trevon Boykin, he came in initially as a quarterback. The need was we needed him at receiver, we needed it at running back, and then all of a sudden, oh my gosh, we need you at quarterback again, and then the rest is history.
The rest is history. So, so who knows? And you can't have too many good quarterbacks.
That's true. We felt that way about this last year. Like, oh my gosh, we've got five quarterbacks. We can't possibly have a problem.
Oh, no. Yeah, but I mean, like, it's competition breeds excellence or whatever.
That is true. Yes.
Unless, but nowadays, kids just want to leave. But we'll see how all that goes. So I'm excited for this batch of recruits. So talk about some future guys. Let's talk about some past frogs, best frogs to wear jersey numbers in the 60s.
Yes, let's turn the clock back, shall we? So we've gotten all the way up to 60 there. Here we are now, 61 through 70 talking about today. So beginning with 61, as always, we're going to start with our honorable mentions. First honorable mention for you for 61, Ben Angeli. Mm-hmm. All right. Obviously, we're going to be talking about a lot of linemen in these numbers here. Ben Angeli was a really great offensive tackle for the Frogs. His senior year was 2005, that first Mountain West championship team. He also was briefly a coach, a GA with TCU for a couple of years. Also, David Bobo, another really, really good 61 for the Frogs, paved the way for LT for all of the years that LT was here running the ball. And he was also a second-team All-American while he was here. But your best 61 of all time, Billy?
Marcus Cannon.
Marcus Cannon, yes, out of Odessa. And you want to talk about easily, I mean, we were talking about, like, most talented people to play with LeBron. Like, he was easily the most talented member of that incredible Rose Bowl offensive line there at the left tackle spot, blocking J.J. Watt for a lot of that Rose Bowl. And obviously now he's had an incredibly successful pro career playing with the Patriots. Got himself a few more rings since that Rose Bowl ring. He was big. He was strong. He still is. Really, really fast feet. And he's a really cool guy. You know, a lot of people kind of had mixed opinions about him when he was in college, because he kind of at first is like a little intense, you know, but then once you get on his good side, you realize he's just like, he's just a big teddy bear, really. I remember specifically one time at practice, me and him having an extended conversation about drinking out of the hose at your grandma's house while you're playing outside, you know, and just, you know, things like that.
Yeah, I legit asked Jeremy Clark this, I want to say during a basketball game this year, if houses still had hoses on the outside.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't know if that was still a thing or not anymore.
Mine does.
He confirmed me that they do indeed still do that.
they do indeed.
Yeah, so, because he has a house and I'm in an apartment. I was like, I don't know about this anymore. But you talk about people being on the good and bad side of Marcus Cannon. I think I was unequivocally on the bad side of Marcus Cannon. So I think I told the story about GP yelling at me as a doughy-eyed sophomore reporter for the Skiff. Again, about an article I didn't write. Again, everything's gravy, but it's a rant. They still play to TCU freshman journalism students. Anyway, you can hear on their Cannon visibly, audibly laughing while it's happening. Oh, God. So
I think the whole thing with Marcus is just, I mean, he's intimidating. He's an intimidating presence because he's ginormous, you know, and I think that it was easy for people to, you know, who I don't think any of his teammates ever felt this way about him, but just from a manager's perspective and like coming in like as a freshman when he was a junior, a lot of my peers were like kind of scared of him, you know, oh, he seems kind of mean, you know, and everything, but he totally wasn't. He was just kind of like, he would like to mess with people, and then, you know, you get on his good side and you realize, oh, this is a really awesome dude.
Well, I never got to be on the good side, but I'm still glad he's doing well and repping the Frogs.
Oh,
well,
man, so. he is doing very well.
Yeah, I know. I guarantee he doesn't know at all who I am, so that's, that makes for a good case. By the way, breaking news, talk about people affected with the whole Jordan thing. Patrick Ewing tests positive for the Rona.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
And that's probably because he was on Michael Jordan's list.
Probably. He gave it to him. He said, here you go.
That was all I needed.
Yeah. I just needed. Man. Yeah. I was always a big Ewing fan. I mean, he's not dead. We're not talking about the past tense. But I always liked Ewing. Was one of my favorite players growing up. So,
dude, I mean, the Monstars stole his powers. Yep. And after that, he was never quite the same.
Jordan stole his cookies, so. 62 on the list.
62. Okay, one honorable mention that definitely needs to get mentioned, and this is a big RIP. Shane Sims, who was a huge member of that offensive line in the mid-2000s, just recently passed away, as some of you might have
yesterday,
seen on Twitter.
The day before, I think Estridge, I don't know if Estridge announced it or not, but Estridge was the one I saw tweet about it.
That's who I saw as well, and he's definitely, he was an incredibly accomplished player and an unsung hero on his offensive line while he played, and definitely deserves a shout out at 62.
And that's someone I was on the good side of. So there you go.
Oh, well, there you go. Do you have any Shane Sims stories?
No, nothing as detailed as that, but he was always a good guy to me. So we talked a couple times, but he was always a good dude. So.
That's cool. Another honorable mention, Herb Zimmerman. He was a guard for the Frogs from 49 to 51. He was All Southwest Conference his senior year in 51. That was also one of the years the Frogs won the whole conference. Ended up playing Kentucky in the Cotton Bowl that year. And so he was a part of, you know, an accomplished TCU offensive line and TCU team. But your best 62, and also one of your TCU Twitter MVPs.
Yeah, I think he's ranked this high solely because he's so good on Twitter.
Well, another really good dude that I happen to know from my TCU days. Jeff Olson, I think, is your best 62 of all time. A guy who came in as a tight end to TCU, ended up moving to tackle, and just excelled at it. He put on the weight he needed to put on, and he just, I mean, he did as good as anyone could have hoped that he ever could have done in that Mountain West, on those offensive lines, was a linchpin on those, specifically like the 2011 team. And I think he earns your best 62 of all time.
I think that's fair.
I can't recall if he got, I feel almost certain that he got all Mountain West, at least his senior year. But
I'll look it up.
Yeah, you can do that. Another one, though, for your best 63 of all time, another offensive lineman while I was there, James Ray. That's totally wrong. I was thinking of James Fry, who was an honorable mention for 64.
Olsen somehow did not earn all conference honors. Despite starting all 13 years and all 13 games in 2011.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, he's still my 62.
Well, yeah. It doesn't, just because the voters were wrong doesn't make it.
Yeah, that doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
James Ray, who is your best 63 of all time, he was all Southwest Conference in 1969, actually. So he was another offensive lineman, really quality starter for the Frogs. James Fry was a center for the Frogs. That was in, let's see, his senior season was 2012. He was he was a guy who stepped into that role and surprised a lot of people with how well he did. Mm-hmm. Greg Davis is another 64, another offensive lineman for the Frogs. Really great in his playing days, but I think your best 64 goes to, you know, last week we talked about that 2017 offensive line.
Yep.
And this is one of those guys who's in the pros right now. Matt Pryor.
Matt Pryor, for sure. I think he's also on the Broncos now. I think he's been moving around a little bit. He's on the Broncos with Austin Schlotman.
There you go.
I believe now. He was with the Steelers. Eagles
for a while.
Was it the Eagles? Oh, maybe I'm thinking of someone else.
He was with him and Big V were both with the Eagles.
Maybe that's the combo.
Patrick Morris. You're thinking Patrick Morris. Morris.
That's what it was. Patrick Morris is now with the Broncos. But Matt Pryor is currently with the Eagles, I believe.
There you go.
Yes, he's still with the Eagles.
Moving on to 65. You know, we mentioned we're going to have Blaze on the show. His brother Brady deserves a big shout-out. Mm-hmm. His honorable mention, 65. He was a huge member on those offensive lines for the Frogs. They played in the Alamo Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But your best 65, and this, you know, he has a really far-reaching impact even beyond his playing days. Very similar to Frank Windegger in a lot of ways. But your best 65 of all time, I think, has to go to Dick Lowe.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only did he play for Dutch Meyer, and he was a big leader on the offensive line in his playing days in 49 and 50, but also he ended up being a massive booster for the Frogs.
Yeah.
And is really, I mean, if you want to know the reason that Coach B is the coach of the Frogs,
Dick Lowe.
Dick Lowe is the reason.
I literally typed in his name right now, article from 2018. Gary Patterson not at TC without Dick Lowe. So
there you go.
So this is from 2018. That's how recent this was and how important he was and how big of a booster he was back in the day.
Yeah, because a lot of people did not like the idea of this unproven defensive coordinator being the new head coach. Like, oh, what the heck? You know, we've gotten to 7 wins with Dennis Franchione, and now we're just going to hand it over to this guy. What do we know? You know, it was very broadly unpopular decision, but Dick Lowe was his biggest cheerleader and was like, Coach Patterson has to be the guy. And we can all thank our lucky stars that he was beating that Coach Patterson drum. Mm-hmm. Because now Coach P's got a statue on campus. And like me and you were talking on Twitter the other day, Billy, I mean, I don't think you can look anywhere else for the best coaching hire of the 21st century.
Well,
maybe Nick Saban.
I was gonna say Dabo.
Yeah, Dabo's a good one. Because
Clemson was nothing. Relatively obscure. Not nothing, but relatively obscure for a while.
Yeah, and now they're just perennial.
And now they're a juggernaut. But also Saban going, but he was great at LSU too. It wasn't like, I don't know if this guy's going to be good or not. Yeah. Patterson was a total wild card. Dabo was a total wild card.
Yeah.
And they've become legends in the sport. So yeah.
He needs to be in the top 5.
Oh, 100%. The fact he was 10th on that list is nonsense.
Yeah, atrocious.
Because he took a program that would win 2 games a year, is now winning, in most years, 9, 8, 9, 10 games and going to bowl games, and he's the winningest coach in school history. And
oh, yeah. I'll never forget. I mean, my grandpa has said on many occasions that in the mid-90s, he's like, I used to say to my friends, if we could just win 7 games, can you imagine how fun that would be? If we could just get somewhere where we can win 7 games a year, that would just be the best thing in the world. And here comes Coach P now, turning in double-digit win season after double-digit win season, taking us to the Rose Bowl and the Peach Bowl, and you know, two national championship quality teams, and a lot more great ones. I mean, that's a coup.
It's a coup. Yep. So thank you, Dick Lowe.
Yes, thank you very much, Dick
Thank you,
Lowe.
Mr. Lowe. Also, all-time TCU name team.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yes. 66 now. We come to 66. And I do have an honorable mention for you. Of course, we've already mentioned we're going to be talking to Blaze a little bit later in the show. Blaze Fultz, your best 66 of all time. A just insanely quality guard and a great pulling guard. Really agile feet, and he's just super strong. John Glud, though, was an offensive tackle from 2000 to 2003, and another guy who deserves honorable mention for 66, besides Blaze. Mm-hmm. But we'll talk more to Blaze later.
We'll talk to Blaze here in a few minutes. So
yes. Number 67 for you. I don't have any honorable mentions. It really just came down to this one guy. And your best 67 of all time has to go to Robert Mangum. All right, Robert Mangum, we talked on last week's show about Tommy Joe Crutcher and the great line that he had in front of him. Mangum was a member of that line from 61 to 63. He was actually All-American in 60... Or no, sorry. Tommy Joe Crutcher was All-American, but Mangum was blocking for him. So, there you go. He's your best 63 of all time. Mangum actually was all Southwest Conference in 63, not All-American. So,
But Southwest Conference was so good, it basically wasn't All-American.
Yes, basically. I mean, is there America outside of Texas and, like, one city in Arkansas?
I'm waiting for Texas to go ahead and just make its own country. Secede from this here union.
Hashtag secede. 68 now. And this is one that a lot of people may not know, but an honorable mention 68 for you. Guy Morris. Does that name ring any bells for you, Billy?
Well, I think of like a couple of actors, but no, not necessarily.
Oh, well, he was the head coach of Baylor for a number of years, actually.
Okay, now that does sound more familiar.
Yes.
And gross.
And actually...
That's why he's an honorable mention.
Well, and you know, we think of Baylor as, you know, having coaches like Art Briles.
Vomit who were just trash.
But this guy, an incredibly solid dude... Mm-hmm. Really good guy. His Baylor teams were coached right, and they were really good kids, and they were also not very good. But Guy Morris, before he went to Baylor, and before TCU actually ended up beating him in 2006 when the Frogs went up to play Baylor, mm-hmm. He was an offensive lineman for TCU. He played guard from 70 to 72, and he was all Southwest Conference in his senior year.
There you go.
But your best 68 of all time... Another one from that 2017 offensive line.
Joseph Noteboom.
Yep. Yes. I mean, we were talking about these guys who are having these extended NFL careers and just did really great things while they were with the Frogs. I mean, Noteboom, he started as a freshman.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he had four really, really great years playing tackle for the Frogs, and he's still doing it at the next level.
Where is he still with the Vikings? Or no, where is he? He's the Rams? The Rams.
The Rams, yes. One of our honorable mentions, though, for 69 is with the Vikings. 69, nice. Right?
the nicest of the players, Avion Collins.
Yeah, Avion Collins. Yes. He's an honorable mention.
That's 69. I get them confused.
Yes.
A nice honorable mention.
Yeah, another really, really, really nice guy who wore 69.
Oh, yeah, he's a good dude. Good dude.
Kelly Griffin.
Yep.
He was a really great defensive tackle for the Frogs in 2009. And... just one of the best dudes you could ever come into contact with. Saw him at a game, actually. I can't remember if it was last season or the season before. He was just like, you know, oh, hey, what's up, Clint? You know,
yeah.
Just wanted to talk for a while.
There you go.
A really great dude. But your best 69 of all time, you know, we've talked a lot throughout this list about the Nix family and the impact that they had on TCU. And this guy probably had the biggest impact of all of them. That'd be W.C. Nix III.
Yep.
Played for the Frogs in 85 and 86. He was a two-time All-Southwest Conference selection in 85 and 86, those being the 2 years immediately after the sanctions came down. And he is also one of only three players to receive multiple team MVP awards. Believe it or not.
What, LT, Mike Renfro?
Yep, LT and Mike Renfro.
Oh, Jeff Ballard has since been added to that list.
Oh, Jeff Ballard. Okay, well, there you go. Four. One of four. And he's an offensive lineman.
Yeah. That's impressive because he's the only player to be all conference those 2 years you mentioned. The only TCU player. He's also on the all century team according to Dan Jenkins.
Yeah,
for how good he was as a Frog. So yes, the Nix family has been very important to TCU. And shout out W.C. Nix for his role.
Yes, W.C. Nix, and almost all of these guys are Letterman Hall of Famers. But he's one that you may have seen. You know, his sketched image there among those Letterman Hall of Famers, wearing a little bow tie and everything. And then got the neck roll. He's got the cowboy collar.
He's got the neck roll. I'm looking at a picture of him right now. He's got the aggressive neck roll. So.
Aggressive neck roll. All right, and that brings us here to 70, your best 70s of all time. Honorable mention, one of them goes to Cordell Owagwu, now a member of the Houston Texans, mm-hmm. and a vastly underappreciated member of the offensive line while he was here, played hurt a lot and did really well in spite of it. Another one, JT Attenbaugh. He played guard for the Frogs in 2001 and 2002. Was a really big member of those offensive lines. But come on, your best 70 of all time. It's Marshall Newhouse. It's got to be. Marshall Newhouse. Yep. Another one who's had just an extensive pro career after playing his senior season on that really underappreciated Fiesta Bowl team that was so, so good and was just an added second on the Big 12 championship clock away from playing in the national championship game. Marshall Newhouse, most recently with the Patriots. He also played other places.
Well, he was on the Packers team that won the Super Bowl, I think, wasn't he?
Yes, he was on that Packers team, played with the Giants and Raiders.
He's played with a bunch of teams. I'm looking at this list of teams now. So he started with the Packers, played there for at least like 4 years, then was with the Bengals for a year.
I forgot he was with the Bengals.
Yep, with the Giants for a year, with the Raiders for looks like 2 years. Maybe just 1 year. I can't tell how the years are lining up here. With the Bills for a contract. So he was the Bills for a year. The Panthers for a year.
Man.
The Saints for about 6 months. He never actually played for them. He was cut in September of that season. So before the 2019 season started, Jerks. He was cut. They're the worst. But that enabled him 2 weeks later to be picked up by the Patriots.
There you go.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's before this past season. Yeah, that's this past season.
Awesome player, another really awesome guy, and super, like, just his upper body strength was just nuts while he was playing. I mean, he actually, one of the things I remember about him when I was in school, because it was my freshman year, was his senior year, I was looking at him, I was like, it seems like his legs are really, like, not as big as you would expect an offensive lineman to be.
Can tell him that's his
face? Well, probably not. But
can you see his face? He's very tall.
He is very tall, and I'm not.
He's 6'4", 330.
But he's got insane upper body strength. And he's really good. I mean, he's like all TCU players from that era. He's just really athletic and fast and really, really good at what he does.
TCU's O-line U, just saying.
Yeah, just saying.
I mean, on this list right
now.
Proof's
in the pudding.
Like, on this list right now, we just mentioned six guys that are on TCU, that are on NFL rosters.
Yeah.
Newhouse, Iwagu, Collins, Noteboom, Pryor, and Cannon are all still on NFL rosters. That's six of the dozen or so guys you just mentioned that are all on an NFL roster.
Pretty impressive.
Impressive, to say the least.
As offensive line appreciation week continues into a second week.
I'm sure. I mean, there's probably more next week, too, so keep an eye out for that. So we're about to get a good friend, Blake Foltz, on the phone. So hang on.
Blaze Foltz, let's see if we can get him here.
While we wait on Blaze to get on the line, let's go and get into Twitter questions, and we'll get into Blaze whenever he calls in. It could be in the middle of this, could be after all this. Who knows when it's going to be?
Yeah, who knows? So, but it's time for Twitter questions.
We got to get the music back that Jeff had way back in the day. Jeff had his daughter saying a bunch of cute stuff on there. So that was a good time. I don't even remember. It's something so long ago. It was like 200 episodes ago.
Not something really. Like that.
It was like 80 episodes ago. This is episode 230. We've done this a long time.
Yeah, before I crashed the party.
It's still been good.
Well, thanks for the
vote of confidence. The dreaded vote of confidence. All right, bye.
I know Austin Beans Britt likes me. That's all I know.
That's all that matters, right?
Yeah. I got one person on Twitter.
You got Beans on your side. Was that Even Stevens? Is that the show that had been?
Dude, I had never watched Even Stevens. You just opened up a whole rabbit trail.
We have a question about kids' shows in a minute.
So. Okay, Well, I'd never watched Even Stevens, and my wife was like, oh my God, you never watched Even Stevens? What the heck? And, you know, we have Disney Plus. We burned through that whole show. That was a great show. It was really funny. I enjoyed it.
There you go.
And Shia LaBeouf, I had no idea. Like, I'd really only ever seen him in, like, Holes, and that's pretty much it, because I never saw the Transformers movies. Mm. But, yeah, he was a funny kid. I enjoyed it.
I think he's a all-around solid actor.
Yeah.
All things considered.
Yeah.
But you never know with those kids what they're going to turn into these days.
You never know.
Child kids stars. These days. Kids these days. Whippersnappers and whatnot. Mm. All right, Bayou City Frog. Can you guys play the Power 5 Pick 5 game? And I was confused, so I got some details on this.
Yes,
please.
So
basically, you pick one item from each conference. So you can pick a coach, a team, a stadium, a town, and uniforms from any team.
Okay.
But you can only pick one of those five items from each conference. So you have to pick, say you want to do coach, all right, boom, say you pick Nick Saban, there's your SEC.
Okay.
And so then you want to pick team. You could pick Florida State or Clemson if you want to just rep the ACC.
I see. Yeah. Okay.
But then, so those are just.
I feel like I needed time to prepare for this.
Well, it's not like we've had any time at all to sit here and wait around.
And I wasn't reading Twitter questions at the time.
Well, this is a DM too. It's hard for you to read.
Okay.
So I will go. I'll take Saban for coach, because that's an easy one. Ooh, okay. or do I want Death Valley from LSU as my stadium?
That's a good question.
That's why Bayou City asked it. All right, here we go. I'll take stadium. I'll take LSU.
Okay.
Team, I'll take Clemson.
Okay.
Because of Trevor Lawrence. Town, let's go.
Oh, so town is one. So town is it's one. Coach, team, uniforms, stadium, town.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's a tough one. LA for like UCLA or USC.
As the town?
Yeah.
Okay. Town is a generous word.
Well, suburb, what would you call Los Angeles?
Major metropolitan area.
Well, whatever. Or Eugene.
Okay.
I was thinking, those are my top two options for whatever reason.
Yeah.
But that could be uniforms, too.
I feel like with town, because, you know, I like everything about TCU, so like Fort Worth would honestly be where you'd want to go. But then I feel like with town, the consideration is weather. So in that aspect, Fort Worth is way down the list because half the season we're sweating our behinds off.
Yeah.
Well,
again, you're not picking TCU here, though.
I feel like if it's me, I feel like you got to pick TCU's uniforms just so you still feel like you're rooting for TCU in all of this.
Okay. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
All right, so Saban coaching Clemson, wearing purple in Los Angeles at the Big House.
At Michigan Stadium.
Yes.
Okay.
Boom. This is there. We did my Power Five.
I think for stadium, I might go Pac-12. Maybe. Like the Autzen Zoo. You know? That's a pretty cool stadium. Pretty picturesque area. Or maybe like Washington Stadium. That's a really beautiful stadium there.
Yeah.
On the water. That'd be cool. So maybe something from the Pac-12 there. Like I said, TCU uniforms just distort my reality here a little bit and make me still feel like I'm rooting for the Frogs. Team. Okay, yeah. I feel like, yeah, Clemson's probably an easy one because they're still going to be a contender for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So then we've got coach and town, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that leaves Big Ten and SEC. Ooh. So I haven't done myself a lot of favors with the whole heat thing. Or, like, extreme cold.
Well, you can go to Minnesota.
But Minnesota, well, yeah. They have an open air. Oh, well, yeah, that's true.
Okay. Rutgers is probably...
In New Jersey?
Tempered. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of one that isn't extreme.
Okay, who are some good coaches? Yeah, I mean, Nick Saban's an easy one. Nick Saban's an easy one. Yeah, I'm fine with Nick Saban and Clemson's team. And then let's figure out a Big Ten town.
Arbor... East Lansing.
Yeah, there's a lot of far north ones. Personally, I don't mind the cold. I like the cold weather. I feel like it's easier to bundle up than to, like, you can only strip down
Champaign,
so much.
Champaign, Illinois?
Yeah, I don't know very much.
West Lafayette for Purdue?
I guess maybe, like,
Where, Maryland?
Maybe, like, Evanston?
The entire state of Maryland? Oh, Evanston could be nice.
Because that's like a suburb of Chicago. Yep. That's kind of cool.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go with that.
All right.
Off the seat of my pants. There you go.
All right, so now do that with just Big 12 teams, excluding TCU.
Okay. So...
So now you have to pick five items out of nine teams.
Okay, well, Baylor is out of the running for everything.
Everything. So Lincoln Riley, I think, is the winner for coach.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley's the coach. Uniforms.
No one else wears purple. Oh, Kansas State. Boom.
Eh.
Wow, shot.
I mean...
There's a shot.
They're fine, you know. They're not, like, thrilling by any means. I mean, like, you know, I feel like overall Oklahoma State's got some pretty good uniforms.
Oh, yeah.
Texas Tech has a lot of good uniforms.
But I kind of want the stadium. I kind of want Oklahoma State Stadium. If I'm taking Lincoln Riley for my coach, which I am, I'm taking Oklahoma State Stadium.
Yeah, you definitely don't want the toilet bowl.
I'm taking the team of Iowa State.
Okay.
The town?
I mean, Austin's a pretty great town.
I was like, do I say Austin? Do I want to give Texas some credit?
Give it to
Austin. So I've got Iowa State's team playing at Oklahoma State, coached by Lincoln Riley, wearing Kansas State's uniform in Austin.
Okay, yeah. I think I'm going to go the same... Except for, give me Tech's uniforms. I think I prefer Tech's uniforms.
Or do I want to take Oklahoma State's team and put them at Iowa State because it's a better team. And Ames, Ames is a good atmosphere.
Yeah.
It's a good college. It's a good stadium for upsets and whatnot.
Yes.
Tech's also a good atmosphere.
Well,
for a
Oklahoma
bunch of
State,
crazies,
I mean,
and drunks.
But, Oklahoma State is both, throwing deep.
But I think Oklahoma State's the best team this year.
Yeah, we both had said they were our dark horse to win the whole dang thing. So.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's
I agree.
Do it. All right.
We're in agreement.
Do we want to call Blaze or do we want to finish these Twitter questions out?
We don't
have many more. We can just run through these questions if you want.
Let's do run through the questions real quick since we've already started, and then we'll get Blaze on the line.
Okay. Jeff Craig, your thoughts on the potential changes for college baseball schedule in 2022, for or against later start finish? Schloss is heavily in favor.
And I tend to agree.
I agree with Schloss, whatever it is he's doing. So basically, January 15th, Blaze is calling.
Oh, yeah.
We'll answer this later.
Yeah, so, hey, Blaze, you're on the air right now, man. Oh, I guess
you should put him on speaker. That would help.
It's a key component. Are you there?
Doing well. How you doing, y'all?
Doing good, man. Doing good. We were just talking about the proposed changes to the NCAA baseball schedule, actually.
Does Blaze have a hot take on that?
Oh, nice. Yeah. Hey, if we need baseball, we need now. We definitely need college baseball. The boy needs some Omaha.
Yes. Dude, I need anything other than Korean baseball to like sate my sports lust at this moment.
Well, they had professional spike ball on last night, so it was pretty rough.
Yeah. Man, so you sound pretty sports starved there, Blaze.
not a big spike ball fan, but it is what it is.
Have you watched the Russian slapping leagues, where they slap each other?
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
How would you do in that competition?
We've done great. We just call that two-a-days.
Let's call that two-a-days? how is your, because you're also a coach, how are things been going in that field the last 2 months?
Things are weird right now. I mean, we made it work. We made the situation work the best I could. I mean, just getting the kids, workout plans, a lot of Snapchat, emails, and we're lucky enough to have a barn where I've got enough weight equipment where they have they could still work out, they could still get what they need to do, but it's just kind of at first we're kind of like are they going to cancel football season altogether, are they going to cancel school altogether? So you're just kind of riding that wave and just prepare for the worst, hope for the best but be prepared for the worst kind of scenario. But the kids still want to work, and they they're so dang bored, being home all the time. They just want to do something. So I got no problem with that.
Are things loosening up in Kansas, or what were they like at all?
It's been pretty strict. Like I myself have been kicked off a field or two while I'm training the kids. So
rude.
Because people drive by and call somebody that's a little bit higher up than I am.
Oh, wow.
Some Karens of the world,
Someone going to snitch on a human being of your size is what I want to know.
Oh, dude, Karens are ruthless, bro. It doesn't matter if you're big. Dude, it doesn't matter if you're, it doesn't matter if you're my size. It doesn't matter if you're, 6'10". The Karen's going to come after you, and she's going to ask for that manager, I swear to God.
Karens are undefeated, man.
Karens are undefeated, bro. Karens are undefeated. You can't beat them. Things have been pretty tight up here. I don't know what regulations are like in Texas right now for, kids training, weight rooms and stuff like that. But, we're not allowed on campus, not allowed to use any of the school facilities at all. So you just kind of got to make do. And even then, it's, if someone spots you in a big group, people will still call somebody. So.
Yeah, they've opened things up. Gyms opened on Monday, and I think kids can start doing workouts and stuff on June 1st. So, here.
Yeah, God bless. The gyms opened up on Monday. So that's been nice, but I don't know when summer weights we're looking at starting on June 8th up here. So, that's the same timeline.
Yeah,
nice. Well, before we go any further, man, the whole reason we've got you on is you're our best 66 of all time, of all TCU athletes. So why don't you, I mean, how does that make you feel? What do you think about that?
Honored. I think there's better 66 out there than I was, but definitely honored. I got to play with a lot of greats and played with some of the best that are still playing today. And, they definitely made me better when I was out there. So I got to give all the credit to all my teammates that I played with. And, man, just super, super cool you guys are doing it, though. I mean, I wear that 66 with pride, so.
It's been quite the project, I can tell you that.
speaking of great players you played against and with and whatnot, who's better, you or your brother?
Me. Me. Me and my brother always go back and forth, and he's always like, "Well, we did this," and I was like, "Well, and we can compare stats, or we can compare whatever you want, but." Still got the conference mentions, and I always throw back the strength and conditioning All-American two times in a row. But yeah,
no big deal. Just casually drop that.
I always give him hell for it, but you gotta have something. We fire back each other a lot because he plays the same position, and he played on some great teams. And I played on some great teams. We're just O linemen. So I mean, we just locked their asses off when we were called upon and did our job. So.
Well, hey man, the last 2 weeks it's been O line appreciation weeks here on the Purple Menace podcast. Talking about a lot of greats to come through TCU and play O line. But you were talking about, like, obviously you played on some really great teams while me and you were both in school. What though was probably one of your favorite memories of playing for the Frogs?
We always talk about the big games. You know, the bowl games were amazing. Like, wouldn't trade those for the world, but nothing for me. You talked to a couple guys, too, about it, but nothing beats that Boise State game at Boise State. Beating them on the blue turf, that was my favorite college experience of all time. Just nothing, just the high and just the all-out, just the true joy we got from that day. Nothing better than that kind of feeling. So, definitely my favorite game. Definitely, playing against nine guys that got drafted that year that were on the defense, and some of them were rotating in. Able to pull that game out of the team. And we had some huge individual performances from our skill guys. So, I mean, just one of those things, man. One of those things came together the right day. So.
How many of those teammates that you played with for that game in the Rose Bowl and stuff like that are you in touch with still to this day?
Oh, God. Just kind of randomly, we all kind of stay in touch. I talk to Bob's all the time. I just talked to Tucker today. Antoine, talked to him quite a bit every once in a while. But we all kind of stay in touch, one way or another, whether through social media or, tweeting at guys or, randomly texting, like, happy birthdays and, miss you, nothing but love, kind of, it doesn't matter if it's been a day or if it's been 10 years, when we see each other, it picks up like nothing's changed. So that's what it's all about.
Do you ever make it back down here for a game every once in a while?
Oh, yes. We came down to a few games last year. Came down for the Baylor game last year. Came down for, we watched the K-State TT game up here last year, but I'll be coming down for a few games this year. So that'll be fun.
Oh, yeah. Should be happening on schedule, too.
Hopefully.
Indeed. We'll be down there. Either way, I'll be down there for some Fort Worth action. So it'll be awesome.
I'm assuming you saw the news about the first ever 5-star commit last week. What do you think about what that means to the program?
It's great, but we've never really been a program that's built around 4 or 5 stars. We've always been 2 or 3-star, 4-star guys that, work their tails off and we come together as a team and as a unit. I mean, just kind of one of those things. I just want to know if he's going to gel together, if he's going to be a leader, what's he going to do to, make that? Because I've seen a lot of 5-star guys in high school come to play football in college, and nothing really happens with their performance, So, yeah, I was a 2-star guy, so I really don't really kind of look at stars too hard.
Two-star recruit, five-star player, right?
It's all about the team, baby.
what was your recruitment like? I mean, being from Kansas, were you familiar with Patterson, with him being up from up there?
No, not at all. TCU, this is probably no knowledge by some people, but I actually didn't get offered by TCU or even talk to them until January of that recruiting season. They didn't offer me until 2 weeks before signing day, I think it was. That's when I had my official visit, and a lot of people don't know this either, but I was actually committed to SMU before I was committed to TCU.
Ooh. Dodged a bullet there.
I was actually, just because SMU had been recruiting me for a long time before that, June Jones got there, they offered me on the spot his first day in the office, they offered me, and I was, I was going to start as a freshman, blah, 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 all that, stuff, but one meeting with Coach Patterson and other Williamson changed all that.
I'll just read. You're the first player ever from your high school to sign D1.
Yep, that's true.
I'm assuming you knew that. What it was it, like?
It's a long, long time. I'm an old, washed up guy now. Long time ago.
Yeah, that was back in 07, 08, I guess.
Yeah, 2008.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I know what we're getting old, Blaze.
Jeez.
I'm getting old.
What happened?
Boy, that is 30 this year. What the hell's going on there?
Dude, you and me both, man. I'm like, oh, man. It's coming up fast. Well, we've been asking everybody, all the old players that we have on this, what's your take on the Jerry Kill hire and bringing Doug Meacham back? What do you kind of – how do you think the Frogs are going to look in 2020?
First off, I think that the Jerry Kill hire, keeping around the players, that man's an all-time coach. He recruited me when he was up at Northern Illinois. Fell in love with him up there. And, just always respected the man and what he's done, and how he does things. And I know that he's going to make our program better just from being in the building. Just taking his take, he's so much experience in that mind of his. Can't even imagine. And then the Meacham hire, I think that was a great rehire, bringing him back. I know why he left, and I'm glad he's back doing what he loves. And, I know my brother loved him when he was playing for him down there in Fort Worth. And, I'm excited to see what he can do and bring to the table. But I'm always going to be biased and say we have the best staff in the nation. So it is what it is.
So you think you're expecting a pretty significant step forward for the offense next year, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, they're building. We put a lot of expectations on people, and with so many injuries last year, I mean, I thought we did a fantastic job of what we had laid out with all the guys that got hurt. And Max Dugan, to his credit, he's a hell of a ball player. And I know being a true freshman, it's a lot of pressure on the kid for him to step up like he did. People want to, talk trash, and all this stuff. I'm happy to see that. We had a rebuilding year in 2013, too, and it turned out pretty okay in 14, didn't it?
That's for sure. And we are Max Duggan stands on this podcast, let me tell you what.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
GB doesn't have back-to-back bad years ever, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love watching the kid play. I love watching the team play, and I think that kid he's definitely got the leadership qualities. The same thing I've seen, what I saw in Andy when I blocked for him back in the day. That is some serious, encouraging things to see. When you see him on the sideline as a freshman, bringing the guys together, bringing them along, and, literally pulling that team and putting them on their back and saying, let's go to war. That's the kind of quarterback you want all day long.
Let's go. Can we please have the kickoff already for 2020? Yeah. I'm ready to go, man.
100%. How you boys doing? How we doing on Purple Menace?
Oh, we're doing good. We've been. I don't know if you saw a couple weeks ago. We were doing the best jersey challenges. So the Peach Bowl team beat the Rose Bowl team.
I was very active. I know, not a fan of that, but hey, it's worth it.
Hey, I voted Rose Bowl, guys. just for what it's worth.
I'll why. I'd hear about it from my brother all day.
And then on Monday, we're starting a baseball uniform bracket challenge. We got team photos going back to like 1902. So we got some old, old, old looking photos that we're going to be busting out on y'all next week.
That's a good idea.
Thanks, man. People like to click on Twitter and nothing live's happening, so it'll be fun.
You guys should do an O-line challenge.
You know what? I actually suggested this, that we have like a tournament to discuss like which was the best O-line, like what years. So we've been tossing that around.
It's come up. So which?
I think it's a conversation because this is some serious dudes through the last decade, last two decades really. That you think about guys that paved the way for LaDainian and guys that blocked for Ballard. And, people like Blake Schluter, back in the long day, like Matty Lewis, so many dudes back then. Giles Montgomery, a lot of people don't remember that name.
Yes.
We just had one of our brothers pass away this week, which is a horrible thing. But that's the thing throughout the years, and all O linemen throughout the years have always been so good to, guys that have come in, and D-line and O-line, just across the board, just taking guys in to their little clubs and like their little chats and they took out the games, it was pre-game and before games, and it was just a brotherhood, and we always talk trash and fight about those things, but it's a really cool thing to see. I'm super biased.
So we should do
saying I definitely played on the best O-line team, for sure.
Well, there are 11 Frog linemen in the NFL, so congratulations on being from O-line U.
Taller.
Dude, I mean, you know I got love for our years, Blaze, from 2009 to 2013, but personally, I feel like that 2017 O-line was the best that TCU has ever had. I mean, what do you think about that?
So, name off some names out there, because was that...
All five NFL linemen. So, you have Austin Schlotman, Patrick Morris, you have Joseph Noteboom,
Pryor,
and then, was it Big V was the other one that we saw? We looked it up last week.
Big V was the year before.
Yeah, Big V was the year before.
It was... now I'm forgetting it, who that other tackle was. But it was another NFL tackle. Billy's going to look it up real quick.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was...
Maybe it was Avion.
It was Collins, yeah.
Yeah, Collins.
Yeah, but they're all in the NFL. Yeah. What more do you want?
Yeah, 2017, 100%. They had some serious dudes playing O-line. They're all in the NFL now. Those are the boys, but how many games did they win that year?
17 was when they went to the Big 12 Championship and lost to Baker Mayfield and them. So
they won 10 games.
Yeah, that was 10 games.
They were some studs. Yeah. That's some good power poles right there, boys. So that's why you got to put it up to a vote.
That's true.
All right. All right. It's gonna happen.
Because you got that crew, then you got the Big V, Joey Hunt, Albion Collins. What was his name? All people that played with Brady. Then the Peach Bowl team. That O-line was freakish.
It was Lucas Niang. He was on the 2017 line. Lucas Niang.
Yeah.
That's who it was.
Yeah. You got some studs. I mean, and then that Rose Bowl year, I mean, just look at the guys that are still playing today. Marshall Newhouse and Marcus Cannon are still playing.
We shouted out both of them today. Best 61 and 70.
Shout out, boys. What's the boys?
See, I will get to work on that bracket challenge just for you, man.
Oh, yeah. That's some good life right there. Really fun. We just had some really good linemen, and throughout the years, I know every year guys have really stepped up and taught younger guys how to do the next thing. I think that's really, you see that in the forefront when those guys get older and they take the lead of things. That I think it shows on the field. I think it shows in their performance and. I think it shows when we get in the NFL how good those guys are and be able to take a system and adapt to it and become starters. You got guys like Joey Hunt starting for Seattle, and he's balling out. And you got guys, you know, Big V, and you got Fryer. No Boogs went for a starting spot, too. Just talk to Ward. Javier, I'm still playing. Cannon and Marshall. Marshall's a mercenary, basically. Team just jumped into a system. And, you know, here he is. And Cannon, you know, the three Super Bowl rings on his fingers. That ain't too bad. So it's just, you know, we got a lot of guys out there. I'm sure there's more that I'm missing, but
yeah.
Off the top of the head, just the way the O-line through the years, like, they, even when I was young, they took me in and taught me how to do things. It wasn't a, you know, it was always a competition, but it was, I'm going to teach you how to take the reins when I leave kind of thing. I think that shows up with every guy that comes through that program. So
it's awesome. Well, man, Blaze, before we let you go, I wanted to share one of my personal favorite memories with you from when we were in school together, a non-football related memory that I don't know if you actually remember or not, but it was me, you, and Cam Cunningham that we went out and we watched the lunar eclipse one night that no one else was interested in. Nobody wanted to do it, but we went out and watched that lunar eclipse, and we called everyone moon grinches who didn't want to do it right.
I remember it quite well. Really good memory. You know, one of my favorite memories was putting you in the cold stuff. You know, initiating you at the end of 2 days.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So what a lot of people don't know on this podcast is all the trainers get a little initiation at the end of 2 days, too, and get to get dunked in the cold stuff. Back in my day, anyway. I don't know if they still do it now.
Yeah, who knows now?
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah. But, but no trainer wants to be chased down by the O-line. Get put in a cold cell.
All right, Blaze, we appreciate your time, all right?
All right, man, I appreciate y'all. Thank you for the honor. I really appreciate that. And go Frogs all day, all long, baby.
For sure, man. Go Frogs.
There you go, Blaze Foltz. Yeah, he's a good dude, man. He very much remembered y'all watching the moon together.
Yes.
Y'all watching a sunset, if you will.
And I actually, yeah, we had a picnic blanket and everything.
I believe it.
I have a picture on my phone of the lunar eclipse, and I always know when I'm scrolling through photos and I go back through it, because I'm like, why is there a picture of just black? And I'm like, oh, it's the moon. It's like super tiny.
I guess the solar eclipse you're not supposed to look at.
Yeah, the lunar eclipse, yeah. You can look at it all night, man.
You and Blazed it together, hand in hand, arm in arm.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes. All right, so back to the Twitter questions. Well, thank you again, Blaze, for joining us, as always. As always, in the one time. But, yes, appreciate your support and kind words there as well. But Jeff asked about the questions about 2022 baseball season. So, essentially, what it looks like it's going to be is move the season back for a month. It looks like it wouldn't start until March. It'd be a 14-week regular season. And it basically just gives the team more time to practice together. They'd get a full month from mid-January to mid-February of 8 hours of like supervised practice and workouts. And then from mid-February to mid-March, 20 hours of supervised workouts and practice a week. So it essentially just pushes the whole schedule back about a month, because the National Championship Series would go from July 23rd to 25th. So it's not, I mean, just giving the team an extra month to work out and get better.
Yeah.
And if Schlosh wants it, I want it.
Dude, so. In my opinion, it's nothing but positive, because yes, teams get an extra month to prepare. And so what if we have more sports in summer? Like, good. Yeah. Because in summer, like, I'm always paying attention to the Rangers. I'm always invested in that. But, like, you talk about July. That is when I'm, like, rabidly starving for football. So, like, to still see some purple and see some TCU happening,
yeah,
it's a massively positive thing to me.
Yeah, so I think it's a good thing. I'm fine with it. Next question from Drew Davidson. One seat left of the media lunch table. Who are you giving it to? Him or Jeremy Clark? So it's always fun on the Tuesday press conferences. See who can basically sit with Patterson. Who can get Patterson to their table? It's essentially me, Drew, and Jeremy versus Estridge and Denton. And sometimes we're all at the same table, and that's the table that obviously wins. So it's a it's a fun time. So yeah, everyone wins in that case. So I'm gonna give the seat to Drew, because I think Jeremy can fit in my lap. He's a little shorter. Yeah, so there you go.
He's just a little guy.
And then Melissa chimed in from Frogs of War. Says probably saving it for his favorite road trip buddy. So me and her drove to Stillwater last year.
That's true.
But
hey, you know they got a pond there.
They do. But Drew pointed out that she would already be at the table anyway. So yeah. she gets the throne. She wouldn't have to fight for the last seat.
She wouldn't have the last
seat. She'd get the first seat. And then Brian Banks, last set of questions here. What's the greatest children's cartoon show of all time?
Okay, this is really difficult, and I even tried to think about this going into it, and I don't have an answer, but I know that the best TV theme song of all time is the original Pokemon theme song. That song will get you hyped.
It still gets me hyped. I listen to it every morning. It's what I wake up to. You want to be the very best, the best that ever was.
Yeah, you gotta to catch them all. Is your real test. Yes. To train them
is my cause. Yes. No, I.
But then when he busts out the "You teach me and I teach you," that's when the single tear streams down your face. You know?
And you're very motivated, ready to charge on the day. But yeah, I'll go Pokemon. I mean, that's it. It'd be right in the wheelhouse. I might still be the one guy that plays Pokemon Go. So it is what it
is. Dude, every now and then I'll bust out the Game Boy Color and I'll play a little bit of that Pokemon Blue version, you know?
We were packing up the other day and found one of my old Game Boys. I don't even know what version it is, but it had Pokemon in it. Yeah. I don't know what version of that game either, but it was fun.
What y'all youngins know about that?
I mean, they don't know much
about that. Pokemon Red version and Yellow version.
And Blue version. Yeah, blue red version. And blue, and then
yellow. I was a blue guy. I had blue also. There you go.
Yep.
Yes.
Squirtle is my favorite Pokemon, so that was Blastoise.
Yes! Oh my gosh, man. Yes, I always took Squirtle. Yes. Until I got Yellow version, and then you can get all of them, because you start with Pikachu version.
Yes.
I was a fan of Yellow version.
From Brian Banks again, what was your senior prom night like?
Oh, it was cool. My wife was my prom date because we were high school sweethearts.
Adorable.
I got away with wearing a top hat to prom, which I'm very proud
of. Also adorable.
Yeah. And it was a good time, you know. We did it at that old mansion that's like off of Hewlin by Stonegate. Maybe it's Stonegate Mansion or something like that.
We don't need all the details.
Anyway, that's where it was. That's where the prom was. Okay. So it was all like fancy schmancy and... You know, it's a cool deal.
A fun fact, I was actually nominated for prom king.
Oh.
Fun fact.
Wow.
I was the last one named because the last name is Wessels. So I walked on stage and they gave it to someone else and walked right back off stage. So I was on stage for roughly 45 seconds. So it was fun.
Your 45 seconds of fun.
Yeah, went there dateless, and me and some friends went back to another friend's house and we watched both Kill Bill movies. That was prom in 2004 for you guys. So get excited about that. What is a non-European country that you want to visit and why?
Dude, and we both agreed on this.
Instantly.
Australia. New Zealand. Yep. Yeah, dude. I think it'd be so cool. New Zealand is so naturally beautiful. It'd be so cool to like be like, I'm in Middle Earth right now. You know, as me as a big Tolkien fan.
I was like, ooh, those are sheep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ooh, I like sheep.
Well, they still have like the Hobbiton set up in New Zealand that you can go visit.
You can go visit.
Well, anyone can visit. Anyone can. But Australia, it'd be really cool too. I mean... Australia.
I don't know if I physically can go visit it.
Hobbiton?
I'm like three times the size of a hobbit.
Well, you probably can't go inside one of the houses, but you can be there. You can. The sky is quite tall.
Well, yeah, it depends. I don't know how that hemisphere works.
Yeah, once the toilets start flushing the wrong way, I get all confused
and nothing makes sense anymore. It's all weird to me.
It's like a confined space.
Nothing really matters anymore. All right, guys, thanks for hanging out and. Listening again, episode 230 of these. This is fun.
230, man. Wow. Look at us.
Who would have thought?
Who would have thought? Not me.
Not me at all. All right, so yeah, again, starting Monday, we've got the baseball uniform bracket challenge with some old photos.
Yes.
118-year-old photos. So get excited for that.
And somewhere among that, between that and the basketball bracket, looks like we might be having an O-line bracket.
We might have an O-line bracket too. I forgot. Yeah, Blaze mentioned that, so yes.
Brackets on brackets on brackets.
We're giving y'all stuff to do to fill your summer until actual sports come back.
Yeah, you can thank us later.
Clint, promote your stuff.
Follow me on Twitter, @Clint_Foster55. Jump on the train before it leaves you behind.
@Billy Wessels, @TCO_Rivals, @Scoop_It on Instagram. We'll talk to you guys next week.